Good morning, all. Thank you, all of you who are in this space and all of you who are joining us from our online community. This is a pretty special day for us. We have called it Coming Home Sunday. With the end of summer schedules, summer vacations, we are starting back up full steam here at First Baptist Ann Arbor. And we wanted people who have not been here for a while to get a special invitation to come back. What we did not anticipate as we plan for this day is the astonishing number of our regulars who are out of town today. But I do see faces of those we haven't seen for a while, and we welcome those who are joining us, some of those who are out of town today. And we worship with glad and generous hearts, giving thanks for this community, recommitting ourselves to who we are called to be. There's a lot going on in the days ahead. Today, after worship, or after the children leave the worship service, the children's spiritual formation classes begin. I'd like to give you the good news that a couple of Sundays from now, we're going to have a number of new members joining our church, that we'll be having baptisms on October 9th, that we're doing a service of blessing of the animals in the park on October 2nd, is it? That campus ministry kicks up again in 1 week from this Wednesday. Night prayers will resume 1 week from this Tuesday. That's a lot, and there will be more. We are rebooting. Join us in the big reboot. As part of our celebration today, we are going to have a more special than usual kind of fellowship time in the parking lot after this service. If it's raining, you will notice that there are tents out there for extra shelter. In celebration of the day, we are offering not just coffee, but punch and cake, worth staying for. Not to be served, by the way, until we're finished in here. This afternoon is the annual Ann Arbor Pride in the Park event. It's happening at Wheeler Park. Our church is a welcoming and affirming congregation, and we seek in all ways we can to bear witness to the love of God and the inclusion of the church and celebration of the church of all. So a number of us will be going to that celebration, and you're invited to come as well. Some will be leaving from the parking lot, walking together. If you want to participate, you can also get a ride, see Kevin Morgan for that. Others of us will go a bit later as we have opportunity, finishing up the parking lot, as we may need to do. Join us for that if you can. Read the announcements that are included in your bulletin. So much life and new life among us now. Now the hour of worship is upon us. We welcome everyone who is here, and we open now with all deliberateness and with all devotion our lives, our minds, our hearts to what the Spirit would give to us today and with what the love of God would ask of us together today. Let us worship.
Thank you. Would you please stand if you're able? And will you pray with me? Draw near to us, O God, in this time and in this place, to hear our prayers and praise. Bless this sacred reunion, this day and season of renewal, this coming home. Renew our energy and commitment to your word, your work, to each other, and to you. Now grant us your loving energy to reimagine and carry out your mission. In Jesus' righteous name we pray. Amen. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
You desire truth in my inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Restore me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me in the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
A reading from Paul's letter to Timothy in Ephesus. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Come on up. Come have a seat. It's good to see you. Good. Come on over. There's lots of space over here by Lucas. Come on over. Good. Thank you, Simeon. Good. Today is a special day, and it's all about, you have to help me figure out what it's all about. Can you do a little challenge? I have some letters here. And they write a word. Can you figure out what the word might be? Celia has an idea. Celia, come see if you can put them. Celia, what is today all about? Love. Today is all about love. It's all about God's love for the world. It's all about the love Jesus showed us in his life and the way he taught what matters to him. And it's all about how we love each other. Hi, Eleanor. It's all about how we love each other. So much love. It's all about love that, you know what? We brought fabulous, colorful balloons to remind us about love. And I think we should try to feel that love in our bodies. So I have a task for us. Are you ready? Guess what? It's going to be us up here, and I'm going to invite everyone in the pews to join me too. Join us too. So we're all going to do it together. Would you stand up on your feet? We're going to feel the love in our bodies. So would everybody stand up a second? Would you stand up? And kids, you can face out here towards the teenagers and the grown-ups and the choir and everyone who's at home. Do you see the green and red light up there? That's a camera. That's to everybody who's worshiping with us from home. We're going to feel the love in our body by making those letters. The first one is L. Do you think you can make your body into a big L? Maybe you do it with your arms. Maybe you do it with your arms and a leg. I don't know. Try it. See, can you make a big L? L. Good. Now, you got the L. Now we need the O. Can you make a big O? Good. Or maybe we hold hands and make a big O like this. Oh, yes. Love. Okay, L, O, good. Oh, I'm grateful for God's love. Now what do we have to do next? Teresa knows. V. Oh, V. Oh, that kind of looks like an X. Good. I got to put my legs together. V. Oh, L-O-V. And what comes last? Who knows? E. What are you going to do? Look, see if there's some ideas. Oh, Paula's doing a capital E. Let's see. Ooh. Okay, let's do it fast. One more time. Ready? L. Go. L. Another one. O. Go. Good. V. Oh, yes. And an E. Love. Today is all about love. You know what? Every day is about love. Every single day is about God's love for the world. Can we do it one more time as our body prayer? Good work. Whew. Are you ready? Here we go. Big L. Big L. Ah! A big O. Would you hold my hands for a big O? O. And then let's do a V. And let's do an E. And all together, can we say, thank you, God, for love? Thank you, God, for love. Amen. Let's head to church school together.
Now let's pray together, please. God of every joy and of every fresh beginning, God of promises kept and of the broken restored, we lift to you our most grateful hearts for every blessing of love and life. And today we thank you in particular that this church is a living community of such love and such life. We thank you for the inspiration of so many who have gone before us here. We thank you for the lifeline of relationships here, transcending our differences and enriching us by them. We thank you for the great work that unites us of living and sharing and being good news for your world. We thank you for the joy of returning to each other, and we thank you for the people who are new among us to this church and are already making us more vibrant. We thank you also for those who will soon be on their way. We ask for your continued blessing on our life together. Keep us strong in our commitments to love and to serve and to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with you together. Help us to ask the right questions here. And with all our hearts to give ourselves to the answers we can discern. Keep us willing to be made uncomfortable by the truth of how we fail and by the truth of the world's deep need. Make us fierce in the doing of what is right for the world's sake, for the sake of the poor, the oppressed, the neglected. Make us glad in the happy work of encouraging each other. Let us be a most nurturing, loving family for children. Help us to grow together in the knowledge of Christ and to live with irrepressible joy. Now we pray for the people of Pakistan, suffering so many losses from devastating flooding. We pray for people in the American West who suffer unbearable heat. We pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for the lonely, the depressed, the despairing. And we pray for these known to us, for Cynthia Redinger, David Bowen's mother, along with David and Marianne, for Ron Tipton, Stacy Simpson Duke, Kathy Mortensen, Audrey Bond, Dave Lampkin, Esther Floyd, Marilyn Marsh, Laura Parmalee, Maria Pirantosi, Sandra DeLine, Kelly Wilson, Michael Renning, Essie Slaughter, Ulysses Slaughter Jr., Mia Germano, Sheldon Jones, Katie Mason, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Leah Grange, Lisa Hess, Carl Jacobson, Chris Ledyard Argus, Marin Brauger, and Pidge Roley Caroli. And now each of us offers our private prayers in silence. And now, Lord of Lords, may this hour of festive worship renew us, inspire us, and send us to live the gospel in your world. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you stand with me for the reading of our gospel? This is the gospel according to Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or, what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Years ago, within hours of the collapse of the Twin Towers on the morning of September 11th, the missing persons signs, posters, began going up. They went up outside hospitals, on fences, on trees, and light posts, and store windows. They were up at Union Square and at St. Vincent Hospital, and on the fence at St. Paul's Chapel. Thousands of flyers went up around the city, and they stayed up for days, for weeks, even for months. "This person is missing. Please call if you see her. This person is missing. Please call. Please pray for him." On a day like today, on an anniversary, we remember. We remember the losses. We remember the pain of people, including some in our church family, who lost someone precious that day. They never forget. They never forget what they lost. On an anniversary, we remember with them. There are some things that once you lose them, you do not get them back. A life, a person, irreplaceable. There is no changing that loss. There is only the coming to terms with it. Innocence. That's another thing that once you lose it, you don't get it back. You can't revisit. You can't revive, resurrect naivete or innocence or ignorance. Lost time, that's another one. Benjamin Franklin taught us that. Another lost thing that cannot be found again. You don't get back lost time. I remember losses that are not on the order of those losses. Losses that I still carry. Surely you do too. I remember the first time I lost something that I knew for certain I was not getting back. It was a small loss, but I was a small child, and it was the first one, and so I still remember it. And I've told this story before. If you remember my telling it, I hope you'll bear with me. It's possible I'm still coming to terms with this loss after all these years and decades. I was 5 years old. We had just gotten home from some type of carnival or fair. My mother, my little brother, and me. I had brought home with me a helium balloon from the fair. So you already know how this is going to end. I was so excited to bring home that helium balloon that somehow stayed magically up the way no other balloon seemed to do. It had been tied in a loop around my wrist so I wouldn't lose it. But somehow that loop was still large. And as I slipped out of the back of the car, it slipped off my skinny little wrist and over my skinny little hand. And the next thing I knew, there it went. And I can still see my mother on her tiptoes trying to grab that string for me and save my balloon, trying as fast and as hard as she could, but it was just beyond her fingertips, and away it flew. Actually, my memory gets a little distorted at this point, because in my mind, for all these years and all these decades, what I actually see, still to this day, is my mother on her tiptoes on a ladder against the house, trying to reach that balloon. Where that memory comes from, I don't know. Surely there was another time my mom was on a ladder, but somehow, in my mind, it was when she was trying to save my balloon. Doesn't make sense. How would she have had time to go get a ladder? How would she have then scrambled up that ladder so fast that she could almost reach the balloon? Even as a kid, I knew I was remembering that part wrong. And yet, on a metaphorical level, I was remembering that part right. That memory is perfectly accurate. This is what a mother does when she can. This is what a father does when he can. They go to great lengths. They go to any lengths to protect their child from grief, from premature loss. They try to find what has been lost and bring it back. But my mom couldn't protect me from that one, because a helium balloon just wants to go. And all these years later, I can still remember the exact way it felt watching that balloon float away just past her reaching hand, that dropping sensation in my stomach, the way a hole kind of burst open inside me, the way I felt those same things the first time my own children lost helium balloons. And then there's that automatic rewind of the brain, thinking of what I should have done differently. What if I'd gotten out of the car differently? What if I had held on to my wrist? All those things we think through when we have lost something, immediately we trace back, not necessarily to where we can find the lost thing, but to all of the ways we messed up along the way. If we had just done this differently, if this had been done differently, we wouldn't have lost it. We wouldn't have lost her. We wouldn't have lost our way. Such a sharp, potent, painful mix of longing and regret when you cannot undo what has just happened, when you cannot get back what you had just a moment before. I know. It was just a balloon. It was just a balloon. Isn't that one of the ways we try to soften those awful feelings that go along with losing something? We tell ourselves it didn't really matter so much. Or other people tell us that. It was just a balloon. It was only a doll. It was just hair. But there are times you know how much something really does matter. And you just have to try to find it. So you will keep looking. Sometimes for days. Sometimes for longer. For the cat who ran away. The dog who got out of the yard. The ring that slipped off while you were doing the dishes. There will be people who say you need to give up, that you can replace what you lost, that you need to accept that you just are not going to find it. But sometimes the thing matters just too much to give up, and you will keep looking, even if there doesn't seem to be any hope of finding. And sometimes it's only after you lose a thing that you realize how much it actually mattered to you. Loss has a way of focusing you, focusing us. It makes you see. It makes you realize more than ever what really matters. When Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, he told some stories about this. He'd been on the road for a while, teaching all along the way, and more people were coming to listen to him, drawn by the things he was saying and doing. They had found something in him that maybe they had not even realized they'd been looking for. They had found something. They had been found by something. And a lot of these people, maybe most of them, were not your typical religious types. And he welcomed them. And the religious types did not care for that. He welcomes sinners and he eats with them, they said. That's the typical religious people grumble that you hear surrounding him. Sometimes when you're a part of an institution, you're part of a tradition, you just get so caught up in maintaining things the way they are that it can be very difficult to see clearly what actually matters, what really matters. So Jesus told them, the grumbling folks, some stories to try to help them get some perspective. He asked the scribes and the Pharisees directly, which one of you, if you had 100 sheep and you lost one, wouldn't leave the 99 to go searching for the one that you lost until you found it? And when you found it, you would lay it on your shoulders and you would rejoice and you would carry it home and you would call together your friends and neighbors and you would say to them, celebrate with me, I have found my sheep that was lost. I know. It was just a little lost lamb. There was still a whole flock left. But according to Jesus, that one sheep mattered so much that the 99 were left and the one was brought home and a party was thrown. And Jesus implied that any of them would feel the same way and do the same thing. I don't know what the scribes and Pharisees thought about that. Luke doesn't tell us their answer. Would they have thrown a party after finding one little lost lamb? Was it true what he said? Was it true that they would leave the 99 and go look in the wilderness to find the lost one? Was it true that they would call their friends together for a celebration? I don't know. But I know what it feels like to find something like that. Don't you? I know what it feels like to find something you thought might be gone for good, but then you look, and you look, and you look, and you somehow, finally, miraculously, it seems, find it. Don't you want to tell everyone? Don't you want to post it on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram? Look, a picture, my little lost lamb. Jesus knew what that felt like, too. So he told another story. If a woman had 10 silver coins and she lost one, wouldn't she light a lamp and sweep and sweep and sweep and search until she found it? And when she found it, wouldn't she call all of her friends and neighbors together and say, "Let's party. The coin I lost was found. I know. It was just a coin. And how much did she spend to throw the party? Who knows? Was it true that most women would do what Jesus said and burn precious oil to light a lamp and clean the whole house to find the one coin and then throw a party when she found it? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know what it feels like to find something you were afraid might be gone for good. I know what it feels like when that thing had not only sentimental value, but actual economic value. And I know how awful it feels when that thing gets lost. And I know how completely amazing and nearly miraculous it feels to find that thing. I know how it feels to want other people to share in my amazement and joy and celebration, don't you? I found it. I found that thing I've been telling all of you I had lost. That thing I've been crying over that you told me to stop looking for. Look, I found it. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. And then he told the scribes and Pharisees to imagine that what he was talking about was not possessions, not sheep, not coins, but people. I can imagine that. Can't you? Because I know what it feels like to lose somebody that I thought was gone for good and to fear the worst. And I know what it feels like to then hear the impossible words. Here he is. I found him. I found him. He's okay. And I know this. When that happens, there really is nothing else to do but to cry and to laugh and to cry some more, and to take him home, and then gather everyone you can and tell them the amazing story of how he was lost and then he was found. So let's celebrate. Let's party. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. If you lose something or you lose someone that matters very much to you, if there is any chance at all at finding it or him or her, then you are going to look and look and look. You will turn the house upside down. You will turn your life upside down if you have to. You will do everything, everything, absolutely everything in your power to recover that person, or to save their life, or to bring them home, or to bring them to recovery, or whatever it means in your scenario to get what matters back. A restored relationship, a restored life, a resurrected life. And then whatever it is, whether it's a pet or a coin or a ring or a person, when you get back the thing you were afraid was gone for good, what can you do but share the good news? because the one thing better than joy is joy that is shared. Come celebrate with me, you will say. I found it. I found him. I found her. Let's party. This is what God is like, Jesus told them. God is like a shepherd who goes into the wilderness to find a single lost sheep, because that one little sheep matters that much. God is like a woman who will light a lamp and turn the house upside down to find a single lost coin, because that coin is worth that much. God is like someone who will look and look and look for us, for you, for me, for him, for her, for them, because we matter, because we are irreplaceable, because God yearns for us. And when we slip away from God, when we turn away from what matters most, God keeps coming for us. God will keep coming for us. God will never, ever stop reaching a hand towards us. And when we turn towards God, and that's what repentance is, it's a turning. When we turn towards God, who has always been turning towards us, there is from God no rebuke, no shame, no anger, no meanness that we turned away in the first place. There is only this joy. So much joy. Joy that has to be shared. Are we the sheep? Are we the coin? Are we the balloon floating just out of reach? Are we the seekers? Are we the sought after? Are we the religious who have lost sight of what matters? Are we the sinners who have found something in Jesus we didn't know we'd been missing? Are we the lost ones? Are we the found ones? Are we the ones who know we have been found? Are we the ones who have been invited to rejoice, to celebrate with the great party thrower? Maybe we've been all those things. But look, Jesus says, here is who God is. God is the one who comes looking for us always, always, and not just for us. God is the one who desires each one of us so much that the search will never stop. God is the one who decided we matter, that we are precious, that we are irreplaceable, that we are so loved, and that we are so worthy of so much love. God is the one we belonged to from the beginning, that we belong to still, and God is the one who finds us, who keeps finding us, and who brings us home with joy. And if we believe that, if we say we belong to God, that we have been found by such a God as this, by such love as this, then we realize that we are not the deciders of who is in and who is out, of who is lost and who is found, of who is sinner and who is saint. In God's great celebration, there is never any place for judgment or shaming. There is only welcome. There is only desire for all to come. There is only celebration. There is only invitation. And the invitation is only ever this. Let's celebrate. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. Rejoice. One of the ways we share in the great celebration of God's welcoming love is by making our physical, tangible gifts, by making our offering. One of the offerings you can make is your connection cards, which are found in your bulletin. If you give online or have given online, you can indicate that on this and put that in the offering plate. We ask everyone to fill one of these out, and you can put those in the plate as you make your offerings now or at home online. We have been given so much. To have joy on top of that is the greatest gift. Let's give from that joy.
Thank you.
as recipients of God's amazing grace, as people who know we have received God's amazing grace, how can we help but share it with each other and with the world? May the peace of Christ be with you. This, let's party. We celebrate with cake and punch, and there's a gift for every person, not every household, every person, so make sure that you at least stop through on your way home, if not stay longer for punch and cake.
And a gift.
Yeah.
A free gift.
Yes.
Which is why it's a gift. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you.
May God's face shine upon you. May God be gracious to you.
May God give you grace to love the Lord with all your heart.
That you may do justice.
With all your mind.
That you may show kindness.
To love with all your soul.
That you may walk humbly with your God.
Friends, go from this hour to love the Lord your God with all your might.
And love your neighbor as yourself. Go in peace. To follow Christ.
Amen.